On this Mother's Day, I chose the book of Esther for us to think about. It's the story of a woman named Esther. She was not a mother, but she acted like a mother in that she put her life on the line to save her people from destruction. To give you a little historical context of the time frame, at one point in Israel's history, the kingdom had split into the northern and southern kingdom. And then the kingdom of faraway Assyria came and conquered the northern kingdom in 722, took them into captivity. And then Babylon captured Assyria and then came south and took the kingdom of Judah into captivity in 586 BC. And then after Babylon was conquered by Persia, Persia inherited all the captives from Judah, Jerusalem, and Samaria. And that's where our story begins, way after that, about the years between 450 and 500 BC, with the Jews as captives in the nation of Persia. And at this time, the king of Persia, in his second year, held a banquet for 180 days. Can you imagine that, 180 day party? A lot of wine, a lot of partying, a lot of food. And at the end of that 180 days, he gave another banquet for all his princes and nobles, at which time he wanted to show off his queen to his princes and nobles because of her beauty. But Queen Vashti refused to do that. She said, "I am not going to do that." And because she refused, King Xerxes took away her royal position and desired that another woman would become queen. A search was conducted, and a Jewish woman by the name of Esther was chosen. Esther had been raised by her uncle Mordecai because at that time she had no father and mother. Esther became queen, and the king loved Esther more than any woman of his harem. But then a plot to assassinate the king became known by her uncle Mordecai. Mordecai told Esther, and Esther informed the king, and the king had the plotters hanged. After this attempt, a man by the name of Haman was promoted over all the princes. All the king's servants bowed down and paid homage to Haman. But Mordecai would not bow down to Haman. This enraged Haman. Haman plotted to have not only Mordecai killed, but all the Jews in the kingdom destroyed at the same time. Haman was plotting genocide against the Jewish nation and was able to secure the king's blessings to do this, but the king was unaware of Haman's motives. Mordecai found out about this and told Esther that she needed to tell the king about Haman's plot because she was placed in the royal court for such a time as this to save her people. Before Mordecai was to be hung and the people destroyed, one night, King Xerxes could not sleep. So he got up and took out the records of the royal kingdom and began to read them. And he came upon the fact that no honor was given to Mordecai for saving the king's life. The king then went to Haman and said, "You are to honor Mordecai by having Mordecai wear the royal robe and to place him on a horse and ride through the city square." Now, can you imagine how Haman felt at this point? Here was his plot to get rid of Mordecai and the Jews, and now the king is having him honor Mordecai for saving the king's life. Haman was in a state of mourning and depression. How could he now destroy Mordecai and the Jewish people? And this brings us to the chapter where Queen Esther reveals to the king the plot by Haman. The king hangs Haman, and Mordecai is elevated to the second position of royalty in the kingdom. Because of this event of the saving of the Jewish people, the Jewish festival of Purim was instituted as a celebration of the deliverance of the Jewish people from this evil plot, from genocide. For such a time as this, Queen Esther became queen to save her people. For such a time as this, God raises up ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. And oftentimes, he raises up all of us to do ordinary things in ordinary times to win people to Jesus. You will notice as you read the book of Esther that God is not mentioned by name one time in this book. But we can see God acting in the background, raising up Mordecai to save the king, who would in turn save the people. And Esther, the primary focus of this book, the one who went to the king even when she wasn't asked to come. And going to the king when you're not asked to come can put you in jeopardy of your life. But she was willing to do that because she knew it was the right thing to do. The Lord often works behind the scenes with his still small voice and his not so obvious presence by the work of the Holy Spirit guiding us every day. This is what it says in 1 Kings 19. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. The gentle whisper of God is with us every day. And we hear this whisper through the Word of God, the worship and fellowship of God's people, and prayer. God is behind the scenes. God is here with us, in us, through us, speaking to us, helping us, guiding us. When we're successful, celebrates with us. When we're struggling, he struggles with us. When we're in pain, he feels our pain and comforts us. Question. Why then is Esther in the Bible if God's name is not mentioned? Why did they put Esther in the Bible? I think there are two major reasons. As I mentioned earlier, the Lord works often without us seeing him directly. And I know at times that can be very hard when you want to see the work of the Lord and you're desiring to get some answer and you don't understand what's going on, but you can rest assured that he is there with you. Throughout this whole story, the Lord was at work raising up people to accomplish the saving of the Jewish nation in Persia. Think about it. He had Mordecai in place to warn the king. God brought to the king's mind what Mordecai had done, which resulted in the interruption of Haman's plot to destroy the Jews. And he had Esther in place to stand up for a people before the king, even if it cost her her own life. God calls all of us for certain tasks to accomplish his will in the building of the kingdom. And I would ask myself and all of us today, what specific task has the Lord God called you and me in order to accomplish his work of saving people for Jesus here in Bay Indies, in Venice, in our county, in our nation, and the world? You know, oftentimes small things that we do make a huge difference for good or for ill. I remember a time of where a small thing could have made a very bad outcome if it had not been caught. One time when I was stationed at NAS Alameda, at that time there was a reserve helicopter, anti-submarine squadron stationed there. And one day I took a ride in one of the HS-3 helos to go out and do some sonar dipping. And we flew out over the bay and over the Golden Gate Bridge out at sea, put the buoy down. Then all of a sudden, we raised the buoy up real quickly and made a beeline back for the airfield. And as we landed, I asked one of the pilots, how come we didn't stay very long? How come we came back so quickly? I was really having a good time and you kind of ruined my time. He said, well, Chaplain, here's the thing. We got a call that one of the sailors that was working on the gearbox had lost his ring. And had his ring could have really destroyed that gearbox and you would have ended up in the drink with the rest of us. Fortunately, it turned out that he lost his gearbox behind his ring behind the toilet and not in the gearbox. But if that ring, that small little ring, could have destroyed that gearbox and caused a great disaster. You know, oftentimes an unkind word or action can stick with people forever and give to them a skewed perception of people and of God. Small things can make a big difference. But small things can also make a big difference for good and can result in the saving of a people. There's a story decades back about a lady that was filling a box of goodies and collecting money for missionary work in Asia. When at one point a young girl brought a single cent to put in the box, the lady took that cent and bought a Christian pamphlet and put it in the box. It was given to a Burmese chief who read the pamphlet, and that led him to Christ. The chief told the story of his new God and his great happiness to his friends. They also believed and cast away their idols, and a church was built there, a missionary was sent, and 1,500 people of that tribe were converted to Jesus Christ because of one small cent in one tract. What is that one small cent that we can give to someone who will lead them to Christ? And then they in turn will lead their family or their community to Christ. Or will go overseas or in a country where they don't know of Christ and lead them to Christ. One small little act in the name of God can certainly make a big difference. And think of how we can make a big difference in somebody's life just locally. Maybe a kind word to a restaurant server, or a phone call to someone who's lonely, or standing up for God's truth within your family and social groups, or becoming part of something godly which saves lives and brings hope to the hopeless, comfort to the lonely, visits the sick and those in prison, welcomes a stranger. In other words, that which honors God and changes the world one person at a time for Jesus. For such a time as this, we as followers of Jesus are to be ambassadors of his grace. And the truth is, each of us, every one of us who call on the name of Jesus is chosen for such a time as this. Esther's purpose was to be the one who would bring the message to the king, which would save her people. What we hear from Esther today is, to what has God called you to help build the kingdom of God and to see people come to Jesus? Everyone who's a true follower of Jesus is called to work, a work of love towards all people, a work of sharing faith in Christ with all people, a work of just relationships where all people are welcome, cared for, and treated with dignity and respect. A work of sharing with others how Jesus makes a difference in your life. We are all called, every one of us are called by God to make a difference and to be a blessing. There's a global missions expert by the name of Paul Barthwick, which shares the following story to remind us how God works through one person and can work through each of us. And he tells this story in his voice. A young man named Peter reminded me of a modern day missionary. I stopped into a McDonald's in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and I noticed Peter working the counter. I recognized him from our young adult ministry at church, and I knew he had just graduated from Harvard University with a master's degree. I greeted him and managed to get him to break free for some time of coffee together. "What are you doing here?" I asked, knowing that Harvard's master's degree students don't usually aspire to work at the counter at McDonald's. "Well," he explained, "I graduated in May, but I went 4 months without finding a job, so I said to myself, I need some income to pay bills. So this is where I've ended up, at least for now." And Paul said, "Sorry to hear that. It must be hard." "Oh no," Peter said. "No, don't be sorry. God has me here. This place is giving me awesome opportunity to share my faith. I'm on a shift that includes a Buddhist guy from Sri Lanka, a Muslim fellow from Lebanon, a Hindu lady from India, and a fellow Christian from El Salvador. It's awesome. I get to be a global missionary to my co-workers while asking, would you like fries with that? They both laughed and realized that God had placed him for such a time as this. This is what it says in 1 Peter 2. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. For such a time as this, God has chosen each of us to be his ambassadors for Christ." And I think the Lord's question for all of us today is, how has God called you, and how are you working that out? Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for the story of Esther. And this is not just confined to one person. We see throughout the history of the scriptures, we see throughout the history of the church, people who you have raised up to do extraordinary things. But also there's so many stories than that that tell of ordinary people doing everyday ordinary things which end up with extraordinary events. So we thank you, Lord, that you have called each one of us to your service, to share your hope, to share your love, and to be that one cent that will see another person come to know Jesus and give to you all your praise and all your glory. In your name we pray, amen. Let us stand for hymn 376.